Blog Talk Radio.
It's 3 o'clock and it's that time for the Financial Literacy Ride. Welcome to Build, Grow, and Enjoy with me, your host, Kalithia Jenkins. So go grab your pen, pencil, and don't forget the paper, and get ready for your journey for the next 30 minutes.
Hey, 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 everyone. Welcome, welcome. Build, Grow, and Enjoy, BGE Radio, powered by Blog Talk Radio. It is Hump Day, Wednesday, 10/16/2013. Can you believe we are already in October? 2013 is almost over. We are 2 months away. This year just flew by. That's all I can say. It is 3 p.m. Atlanta, 12 p.m. Los Angeles, BillGrownEnjoy.com. Come over and check out the great and wonderful things that's happening with Bill Grown and Joy, not just from a radio and television platform, but all the philanthropy work that's taking place. Check out the other shows and other hosts that's come on and talking about the amazing things that's happening across the globe. Kalithia, you can follow me on Twitter. And today's good guest, be sure to follow her at Snelling Report. So yesterday was a very, very special, special broadcast for many of you that tuned in, and I thank you. It was just an amazing show. For many of you guys that missed it, I'll give you a quick recap. I had two very, very, very amazing special, special guests that just inspiring to so many. You know, those who feel knows, you know, when losing a child. But I had Ellen Shane and Michael Shane that joined me yesterday here on BGE Radio to speak on the tragic situation that took place in Malibu back in 2010 when their daughter lost her life due to an accident that happened in Malibu on the Pacific Coast Highway. And for many of you guys that don't know, Michael Shane is a huge movie producer in Hollywood, produced Catch Me If You Can, iRobot. But they joined me yesterday to share their mission. They took their tragedy and turned it into, you know, an inspirational change by creating the Emily Shane Foundation and the many things that they're doing out here in California and, you know, Malibu in the community, and just really taking the situation with, you know, that happened with the 13-year-old daughter, and, you know, putting it in, seeing if how they can help someone else. But if you missed that show, I want to tell everyone to definitely get on over to BillGrownEnjoy.com. You can click listen, and, you know, you can hear all our shows. All our shows are playback, so even though we have the time and we're recording shows live or they're pre-recorded, all the shows are playback. And even when you go on the website, right on the right-hand side of the corner, you will see the on-air section, and, you know, right there you can see all of the shows listed, and you just click it and tune in. But I definitely recommend that many of you guys get on over there and listen to that show from yesterday. And, you know, they left me with something in my heart, and I just want to share it again. And this is from Ellen and Michael Shane, and they said, "You don't know what tomorrow will bring you. Life is always going to throw things at you. The key is to stay focused, believe, stay positive, persevere, and look forward." Michael and Ellen Shane, the Emily Shane Foundation. And you can get on over to the Emily Shane, EmilyShaneFoundation.org, EmilyShane.org. Definitely get on over there and learn, see what they're doing, you know, donate, purchase a bracelet. You know, we need so many of us to come together. You know, they're out, you know, using your situation to encourage the next. Let's get on over there and encourage them and support them, because they are absolutely doing some amazing things. So, you know, thank you for joining us, Ellen and Michael Shane. I know it took so much for you guys to come and share your story and your testimony with many of us, and I can tell you so many have listened and so many have tuned in to hear your story, and continued blessings upon each of you and the Emily Shane Foundation. And as they say, pass it forward. Now, today it is that time. It's that time of the month. It's that time of the day. And Monthly Snelling Report is back with our favorite top tax advisor live from Atlanta, Georgia, Debbie Snelling, tax and financial tips that put you on the path of success. And there are some great things that Debbie will be discussing with us for this month from tax provision of the Affordable Care Act, you know, lending money to family, hobby or business, what, why it matters, tax relief for those affected by natural disasters, and many more. And I'm sure we're going to have to get Debbie to share, you know, how is this affecting, you know, what she's seeing with the shutdown, you know, with her taxes and our finances. What is she seeing from her expertise? So welcome back to BGE Radio. Debbie, great to have you again.
Always happy to be here, Kalithia. It's a fun time every month when I get to spend it with you.
Well, Debbie, not only do you have some amazing things and some great tips and information to share with us, but I just want to kick off this show because we haven't spoken about it because it happened in between from last show to now. Shutdown. What are you seeing from the financial and tax world that is affecting us, and what should we be prepared for?
Government shutdown, as you know, stinks big time. The national parks have been shut down, which to me, frankly, is an affront. Some of the states have made an agreement with the federal government and with Congress to step up and make some of the payments themselves so that the parks can be open and the states can be getting that money from the revenues that they derive from visitors coming to visit these national parks. There was an article, gosh, I can't remember if it was in the Wall Street Journal or Forbes, about a company that operates a B&B on land that they have a 99-year lease on from the federal government. They've been there. The B&B has been there for over, like, I think it was 200 years collectively. And apparently we don't have enough money to keep the government open, but we have enough money to send police to block this, so this privately held business who pays their lease on federal property and should completely not be impacted had to shut down and refund money to customers. Now, understand that this is a business that was in Connecticut or Vermont. So seasonally, when the leaves are changing, this is when they make all their money. People book this months and sometimes years in advance to go see it. And this business had to shut down. It's an affront. Throw the bums out. It's an affront. You know, I'm always I'm big emotional on this kind of stuff, and this makes me mad. Put on your big boy pants and do your jobs.
It's a lot going on. I mean, I was even hearing about the whole EBT or the public assistance program. You know, people were freaking out, which they're saying it was a computer glitch, but who knows? But I mean, this is just really, really getting serious as we all are following it. And I just want you, you know, I just wanted you to share with us, you know, we got to think about ourselves because, you know, they have to deal with their issues. But from your expertise, you know, what should we be prepared for or how is this affecting us and what we need to do?
So here's how it affects you from a tax perspective. The government, the IRS is closed. And there's a short version. The long version is, where's my refund? Well, you're required to file your taxes on time. So October 15th, yesterday, was a big tax filing deadline. And if you didn't file them, then you got to pay penalties and interest for filing late, even though there's nobody there to get them. But you're not going to get your refund, even though you filed on time. So not only will tax refunds not be issued, but the where's my refund service is pretty much not working either. This is a total cluster. It's absurd. It's ridiculous. It's an affront. So there should have been, there was an estimate there were going to be 12 million taxpayers who were going to file by yesterday. So 12 million people affected. Yeah, absurd. Now, there are some exceptions to who has to file by yesterday, and those exceptions are not because of the government shutdown. Those exceptions were because there were some federally declared disaster areas, plus
right,
members of the military and others in Afghanistan or other combat zones. They typically have until 180 days after they leave the combat zone to file their tax return and pay any taxes due. And if you were in parts of Colorado affected by the severe storms, flooding, landslides, all the stuff that they had there, and it was a federally declared last disaster area, then you have until December 2nd to file and pay. But but everybody else had to file and pay by yesterday.
Wow.
If you want, it's been frustrating because during this time, if you had a notice, you had 30 days to respond and the government shut down, you don't have anybody to respond to. You can't call and talk to anybody. So everybody's, we are recommending that you, on your responses, you send certified letters so that you've got a date stamp to show that you sent it. I've heard stories from tax attorneys and from other practitioners about one guy sent in his payment in accordance with the payment plan, and because nobody was there to receive it, he sent it certified mail. It was returned to him.
Wow.
Again, I'm going to say it's an affront. Put on your big boy pants and get to work and do your jobs. In the meantime, vote the bums out. Tax transcripts. This has been frustrating for me. Very often we'll have people who come to us, and it happened this year as well, and they need to get their tax transcripts. This happens when you go to file a mortgage. They make you fill out a form 4506 or 4506T so that they can verify that what you're telling them you filed as your tax return is what you've really filed, but you won't get it anymore. Third parties can't get them during the government shutdown. And individual taxpayers are able to get them if they request it online. And allegedly, they'll get their transcript within 5 to 10 calendar days of when it was sent. But I'm telling you that 3 weeks ago, we requested one for a client, you know, using the client's information. So the client requested it themselves, and now it's 3 weeks later, and they don't have it. So, you know, it's a, you know, it's an affront. Liens and levies. Yeah, the IRS is not sending liens and levy, and you can't see me, I'm doing air quotes. If your lien and levy was already in the system to be sent in October, you may have gotten a notice. Otherwise, presumably, the IRS official position is that they're not sending any notifications to people about their liens or their levy. Obviously, during the shutdown, the IRS isn't coming to do any enforcement action. They're not taking your money because nobody's there to do it.
All right.
And the tax court is closed. So, you know, it's just kind of very frustrating. It's frustrating for the IRS, truthfully, and it's frustrating the taxpayer advocate's office, whose job is to be literally an advocate for the taxpayer. The taxpayer advocate's office is going to be overwhelmed when the government reopens, right, from everybody who was supposed to have done something in the interim and couldn't do it because of the shutdown.
Wow, there's just too much going on. I mean, yeah, this is not looking good. And one of the topics that you have, and you know, and I don't want to say it, but I'm going to say it, you know, it just seemed like it just all stemmed from the Affordable Care Act. And that's something that you're speaking about on your newsletter. So let's talk about what you have on your newsletter with these Affordable Care and, you know, some tax provisions, you know, of the Affordable Care Act. So tell us more about that.
And there are so many. I kept saying to people, there are so many tax provisions in the Affordable Care Act. And everybody kept going, no, they're just going to take your money through the IRS. I'm like, no, there are so many tax provisions. You can't believe it. First off, there's the health care exchange itself, which is not in and of itself a tax provision, except that it's going to be overseen by the IRS. Among others, but the health care exchanges officially opened for enrollment on October 1st. I had clients who kept saying, are you going to try to go on and see how it works? And I was like, no, the servers are going to crash on October 1st. And
wow.
Sure enough, that's what happened. It's what happens to any large company, and ultimately the government is just another large organization. Their servers are just overwhelmed with millions of people logging on all at the same time. So
right.
You know that happened. The servers became overwhelmed. Everything shut down. But you have between now and January 1, so you know a couple of months still, to get your insurance through the insurance marketplace, the insurance exchange. Now, some states had decided to do their own insurance exchanges, California chief among them. I understand that the California exchange is going fairly smoothly and that they're ahead of the curve of everybody else. Georgia is one of the states that opted out of the health care exchange, which means that the feds do that. Florida opted out. If you go to our Facebook page, Tax Tips for Small Business, I had put up a, and I'll put it up near the top again, I put up a chart of all the states and who opted in and who opted out, and it was updated in September. So
right.
That way you can figure out, am I supposed to go to my state, am I supposed to go to the federal exchange? But there are a lot of things that happen now. Now we'll kind of get into the individual mandate and the business mandates. So starting January 2014, so a couple of months from now, it doesn't seem like it, but wow, a couple of months from now, you have three options about health care. You either obtain minimal health care coverage for yourselves or your dependents through private insurance or health care exchange, whether fed or state. You have an exemption from coverage, and we'll talk about that later a bit, or you have to pay a penalty, and the penalty is no longer called a penalty. It's called an individual shared responsibility payment.
Mm-hmm.
It smells like a penalty. It's not tax deductible, but we don't call it a penalty.
Right.
So
right.
The basic penalty for people, for an individual with no dependents, calendar 2014, is $95 or 1% of your yearly income, whichever is higher. So a lot of people are going, well, if it's $95 and my insurance is $500 a month, I think I'll skip the insurance and pay the $95. So it's hard to argue with that logic, except for you run the risk of having something happen and then you have no insurance. But they were already okay with that anyway.
Right.
But the penalty goes up steeply. In 2015, it's $325 or 2% of your income. And in 2016, it's $695 or 2.5% of your income. Again, all of those, whichever is higher. And I don't really want to get too technical, so I'm just going to hit on high notes of things.
Right.
But I do want to hit on who's exempt from the tax. People with religious objections, American Indians who have coverage through the Indian Health Service. So it's not enough to just be an American Indian. You have to have coverage through the Indian Health Service. Undocumented illegal immigrants, those who are uninsured for less than 3 months are exempt. And my favorite, those serving prison sentences, because the federal government's already paying for your health care, so you don't have to buy health care. And then those who are really in bad financial straits, where the lowest cost plan exceeds 8% of their income. And then finally, the last exempt group is that if your income is below the tax filing threshold and you don't have to file a tax return, so you're single and it's $10,000 or you're a couple and then it's $20,000, if you're in that income level, then you don't have to get insurance. There is a refundable tax credit for taxpayers who are below the poverty level. One big change that people didn't realize was coming but was always in the law was that beginning in 2013, so it started back in January, you can contribute no more than $2,500 per year to your FSA.
Mm-hmm.
The rules for HSAs and Archer MSAs changed so that tax on non-qualified distributions that are used to cover the cost of over-the-counter medicine increased to 20%. Now, that's a huge freaking tax
right.
on using your HSA or your MSA to take out a non-qualified distribution. But
right.
know that things like medical devices, eyeglasses, contact lenses, copays, and deductibles are still qualified distributions, plus insulin is a qualified distribution. Medicare Part D coverage, people didn't realize this. I kept saying it to them. Medicare Part D is going away. No, it's not. It's gone. It went away in 2013. And this one has been killing me. I've shown it to everybody on their tax return. Let me show you your itemized deductions. Since the entirety of my career, which was under the Reagan administration, you could only deduct medical costs as an itemized deduction to the extent that they exceeded 7.5% of your adjusted gross income. Huh? So if my adjusted gross income was $100,000, then I would have to eat $7,500, and above $7,500 I could deduct. That
right.
number has increased to 10%. So now I have to eat $10,000, and then after that I can start deducting it. And again, it's tax law. People get so tired of hearing me say, well, you know, the answer is it depends. Here's the exception. The exceptions are that if you are age 65 or older, that the 7.5% threshold continues until 2016, including those turning 65 by December 31, 2016. So if you're going to be, so you're still going to have the 7.5% as long as you are 65 or under in 2016. So crazy talk. It's just everything's so complicated. One of the good benefits of the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, is that the cost of employer-sponsored health coverage for children can be on your tax return excluded from gross income for the child through age 26. So if you have one of those children who is a perennial student, you can still cover them on your work health insurance and not have to pay taxes on it. So that's quite nice. There's the new Medicare tax increase for those who earn over $200,000 or $250,000 if you're married filing jointly. So it's an extra 0.9% Medicare tax. And that always makes me laugh. That sounds like some marketer came up with it. No, no, not $1, 99 cents. So not a 1% tax, a 0.9% tax.
Right.
So, you know, if you can find amusement in tax law, I guess it shows how warped you have to be. Also,
yeah.
There's a new tax on investment income, and I have to laugh because one of my professional publications is called the Net Investment Income Tax, NIIT, and this publication called it the Nitwit. I just thought it was brilliant.
Right.
So there's a new tax on unearned income, investment income, of 3.8% for 3.8% if you make over $200,000 or $250,000 if you file jointly. There are, as per everything, there are some exemptions for business owners and income that comes from certain types of retirement accounts like pensions, IRAs, 401As, 403Bs, 457Bs, blah, 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 blah. So, again, trying not to be too technical, but there's a lot of tax code in here and there's a lot of stuff. If you are a business and if you have a business and you are self-employed and you have no employees, all right, so if you're self-employed, you have no employees, if you have a business that makes income, you have no employees, you're considered self-employed under Obamacare. You can get coverage through the marketplace and use that to fit your needs. So, you know, if you're self-employed, you haven't been able to get insurance or been outrageously expensive, hopefully the health care exchanges and the marketplace will be able to help you find affordable insurance. If you are a small business defined as 50 or fewer full-time equivalent employees, again, air quotes, full-time equivalent. What's full-time equivalent? 30 hours per week or more is full-time equivalent. So if I have two employees, each of whom work 25 hours a week, that's one full-time equivalent employee.
Right, right.
Because they added up to 50, which is more than 30. So as a small business, you can get insurance for yourself and your employees through what's called SHOP, which is the Small Business, S, Small Business Health Options Programs Marketplace. This is also available for nonprofit organizations. If you have fewer than 25 employees, you might be eligible for a small business tax credit. And really, all I'm going to say about the small business tax credit is if you have 25 or fewer employees, there is an option to get back, to get a tax credit if you provide at least half of the insurance coverage for your employees.
Right.
Talk to us about it. Contact us at Debbie@TSRTax.com. And we'll talk to you about it and how it might affect you. And starting in 2016, the SHOP, Small Business Health Options Marketplace, will be open to employers with 100 or fewer. Right now it's 50 or fewer. In 2016, it's 100 and fewer full-time equivalent employees.
Right.
Now, if you are a business that's required, so if you're a large employer, 50 or more full-time equivalent, and you choose not to offer health coverage, beginning, and it was supposed to start January 1, 2014, this is the thing, the mandate that's been pushed back a year, so January 1, 2015, if you don't offer insurance and you've got 50 or more full-time equivalent employees, you're going to pay a penalty. And it's called the employer shared responsibility payment, right, as opposed to the individual shared responsibility payment. And for employers, it's called the player pay penalty. So that penalty is $2,000 per full-time employee after the first 30 employees. So the first 30 pay no penalty. After that, it's $2,000 per head. Ow, that hurts. Seriously,
yeah,
that hurts.
That's a lot.
But many employers doing the math who are right at 50 employees are going, that's 20 times 2,000, that's 40 grand. That's still less than the cost of insuring 50 people. So, you know, it's everything in the world of finance is about do the math, figure out, you know, which one's going to hurt the worst, take into account the reality of if I don't offer insurance, which employees am I going to lose, and are these valuable employees? Yeah, there's much to be considered.
There's a lot to be considered. There's a lot to be considered, and there's a lot of information. But go ahead and say what you were saying, and also, Debbie, let them know, you know, they don't have to worry about that because they can contact you, get in consultation with you, hire you as their tax advisor to guide them through, and, of course, they can get on over to thesnellingreport.com for more in-depth information on what we're speaking about today. But go ahead and say what you were saying and let them know how they can reach out to you.
What I was going to say is that if you're an employer and you're offering Cadillac plans, so big companies often have what are called Cadillac plans for their high-value employees, starting in 2018, there's a 40% excise tax. How much? 40%, 40. And that's if the annual premium exceeds $10,200 for an individual or $27,500 for a family. I mean, it's just crazy. And then, of course, in 2014, January 1 next year, there will be a 2.3% tax on manufacturers and importers of medical devices, which to me is – this is one of my least favorite things about the Affordable Care Act is that – we're imposing an excise tax on people because they decided to sell medical devices. Mm. And then in July 2010, there started to be a 10% excise tax. So for anybody who uses tanning services, they pay an extra 10% for the last, 3 years because it was a means of raising money that they didn't think anybody would complain about. Now, how to reach us, hire us, hire somebody competent to take care of you. Debbie at tsrtax.com. Go to our website, thesnellingreport.com. See our newsletter there. Send us questions that you have through there, info@thesnellingreport.com. Reach out to us and let us help you. We just had somebody who was in on October 14th who had their, they've been through it. Their tax preparer was sent to jail for tax fraud. They hired somebody to amend 3 years' worth of tax returns, had great big tax liability. They then had to send their bookkeeper to jail for stealing from them. So they come in. I'm the third preparer they've come to this year. I look at their tax return and go, well, they don't even have your W-2 on here. And, you know, one company says it paid another company, but the other company didn't take any of that as a deduction. So, you know, So, boom, in the period of 24 hours, we saved them nearly $10,000 in taxes. Oh, my gosh, go to people who are good. Stop dealing with these little fly-by-nights.
Yeah, you have to, because it's not a game, and it's getting even more serious, you know, and I'm sure many can see with the shutdown, and, you know, you just really have to take control and, you know, take that responsibility and putting yourself on that path of success and being prepared and having yourself prepared So, yes.
You know, there's a reason that your neighbor charges you $50. It's because you're getting what you're paying for.
Exactly. Quantity over quality, and I'm a person of quality. Now, Debbie, speaking of neighbor, which we can consider maybe might fall under this because sometimes your neighbor is your family. We're going into family, lending money to family and make it a smart loan. Tell us more about that.
Well, here's the deal. First, when you lend money to a family member, you either need to decide that you're making a sweet gift to somebody and you know that you're never getting the money back and it's a sweet gift, or you're going to have to document it and make it real and make it enforceable and enforce it. So small loans of $10,000 or less, you can get away with some. You can't make an interest-free loan. I actually bought a business a few years ago, and the guy I bought it from said, oh, I don't want any interest. And I said, well, the IRS makes me pay you interest. It's the law. The law is that I have to pay you interest. And if I don't pay you interest, I have to do what's called impute the interest. So pretend that I paid it to you. So, and the IRS publishes tables of what are called applicable federal rates, and that's the minimum interest rate that you have to charge. And if you don't charge that minimum interest rate, you're subject to what are called below market interest rules. And, you know, that's exactly what I was just talking about. So you have to impute interest, pretend that you paid interest, and then you're looking at maybe there's going to be some tax implications of gift tax if you don't do it right. And in 2013, you can give up to $14,000 per year as gifts, but if you give more than that, then there are going to be huge estate and gift tax. So this doesn't apply to little bitty loans of $10,000 or less as long as the aggregate, the total of loans to a single borrower are less than $10,000. And they don't use the money to carry on a business or to do anything that's income producing. So if you loan $5,000 to somebody who's going to use it to run a business, all of these rules apply. You got to do it or the IRS comes back, macks you around. And so if you're going to do a loan to a family member, either say, here's my gift to you and get over it, or sign a note, charge them interest, make payments mandatory, and enforce the payments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty much the smart way of doing it. It's the best way to do it. It's sad, but, I mean, it's business. Regardless, family or not, it's business, and it needs to be done.
And the interest that you charge is taxable income to you. If they use it for a business, it's tax deductible to them, so it's a wash. It's a wash.
Yeah.
Now, unless it's a personal loan, in which the case the interest is still taxable to you, but not deductible to them. But the reality is you got to know that, you know, every family has a member of their family who is going to not pay you back, and you just need to get over yourself and not get mad at them. They are who they are. You know what you're walking into when you walk into it. Walk into it with an open mind and know what you're getting into and do it the right way.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, Debbie, millions of Americans have hobbies such as sewing, woodwork, fishing, gardening, stamp, and coin collecting. But when the hobby starts to turn a profit, it might just be considered a business by the IRS. Define to us what of a hobby versus a business, and is your hobby actually a business, and how does the IRS see this? Give us a little more detail on that.
This is a common question. A lot of people doing MLMs who, you know, think that they're going to make money and have a reasonable expectation. And there's the real thing, a reasonable expectation of earning a profit. If you have a reasonable expectation of earning a profit and you do the appropriate things to run it like a business, then you may be able to deduct or you will be able to deduct the expenses associated with running that business. But if it's a hobby, the income from it is taxable, but the expenses are not deductible. So be very clear. have business cards, have a website, do advertising, do run it like a business. And there's a rule of thumb that says if you have an expectation of profit and you're treating it like a business and you lose money for 3 years in a row, it starts to smell like maybe it's a hobby and you're not running it like a business. But you understand that's a rule of thumb. My best example that I always use for people is how long did Amazon lose money before they started to make a profit? And it was, I think, over a decade. So it's a rule of thumb. Just because you're losing money on paper doesn't mean that you don't have a reasonable expectation of a profit. But the IRS will look at certain things to say, are you running this like a business? If you didn't get a business license and you don't have business cards and you don't have a website, well, kind of smells to me like you're trying to call your hobby a business. So are you expending enough time and effort in the activity to show that you have an intention to make a profit? Do you depend on the income from the activity? If there are losses, are they from circumstances beyond your control, or did they occur in the startup phase? And truthfully, being a bad manager doesn't mean that you didn't have a reasonable expectation of making a profit. Regrettably, one of life's best teachers is mistake-making.
Right.
I've learned more good lessons by making mistakes than good lessons from doing it right the first time.
Absolutely.
If you're not making money, have you changed your management style and technique and the way you run your business so that you can make a profit? Again, going back to the Amazon rule. Amazon had a business model. They kept changing it. They started out just selling books. Then they started to sell other things. And now they're a massive retailer. Is it reasonable for you to be losing money for a while? And what are you doing to change it to make it make money? And, do you have the knowledge necessary to carry on the activity as a successful business? I was just using this example the other day with somebody where it seems to me like almost everybody I talk to says that they know how to do a website. And then you ask them to do a website, and you're like, oh, you took a class at a community college and called yourself a business. Nothing against college, community colleges, nothing against the courses they teach. But, dude, experience matters.
I did the BGE radio and television platform, as my way of giving back, when I was in, the world of finance and just grown massively. And, I don't know if that falls under the hobby. It could be, but it was just my way of giving back to give that voice for the community. But you just never know, and you already know, Debbie, we got a lot of work to do together. Oh, my gosh. Woo, boy. So, yeah,
it doesn't matter. Yeah, in every profession, it doesn't matter. And I use the tax profession as an example. I mean, somebody came to me with the tax return, and I went, they didn't even put your W-2 on here. Seriously. And they're, you're not qualified, you're not qualified. Get over yourself and go do something you can do.
Right. Absolutely.
Or go get the training to be qualified. Sorry now? Suddenly I've lost you. Yeah, there you are.
No, I'm right here. I thought you were saying something. But,
I was saying if you're not qualified, go get the training to become qualified if it's really what you want to do. Figure out it's not really what you want to do and go do something else. But the IRS is going to look on your tax return. Is it a hobby? Is it a business? If it's a hobby, expenses are not deductible. Income is taxable. If it's a business, expenses deductible, income taxable for the net, profit of whatever that comes out to be.
Right. Well, I'm on the air with Debbie Snelling, tax advisor, live from Atlanta, Georgia. the Snelling Report, your monthly Snelling Report that puts you on the path of tax and financial success. And we're discussing, Debbie's actually here discussing, you know, how the shutdown, you know, can and will affect your taxes, speaking on making, you know, loans to family and friends, I would say, to be a tax smart money loan. Is your business a business or is it a hobby? And, you know, how does that affect you tax-wise? Now, Debbie, there is also one more topic that's featured in your article. And all of this information, listeners, we're just reviewing everything right off the snellingreport.com. Click newsletter. Each month, Debbie has a monthly newsletter on tax, financial tips, that you seek or need or read upon. But you can go, there's a lot of information on her website. And you can also, you know, contact her directly. All her contact information is on her website. Top in the business. Now, Debbie, there is another topic that you have for this month, and that's the natural disaster. I know there's a lot taking place, and with winter coming, you know, there's a lot more that's coming. So tell us a little more about that for this month.
Well, and, you know, we've had a surprisingly, you know, knock wood, wherever you can find wood, quiet, I guess not in New York, but, you know, New York got devastated by floods, and I'm trying to think, where's Chris, New Jersey got devastated by floods from Sandy and from other storms. Colorado has been devastated by floods. There was in Texas, I think there was drought. The weather has just been crazy. Although Florida and Louisiana and Texas, which often have hurricanes come, it's been a little bit of a quiet hurricane season. But if you are a person who has been in an area that has been declared a national disaster, then there are some things that are available to you. We talked about those briefly with the government shutdown, that you have extra time to file your tax return. Even if it hasn't been declared a national disaster, but it is a natural disaster, floods, tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, you can deduct on your personal tax return, personal casualty losses, as long as these four conditions are met. The loss was caused by a sudden, unexplained, or unusual event. The damages were not covered by insurance. Your losses were sufficient to overcome reductions required by the IRS. Huh? I'll go back to that in a minute. And the only way you can do it is to itemize deductions. So you can take personal casualty losses, but as with everything in the government, it can't be simple. You eat the first $100 of the loss, and then second, you eat 10% of your adjusted gross income. So it's 10% of your adjusted gross income plus $100. And after that, it becomes deductible, but only if you itemize. Oh, why does everything have to be so hard?
Right.
Itemize
means record keeping.
Itemize means record keeping. And by the way, I had a guy call me the other day, and I've spoken to him for some months about starting his business and record keeping. We've talked about it before. Expensify is a fantastic app. This guy called me, and I didn't even shut him down. I often shut people down who call me about personal things on October 14th or 15th. But he called. He goes, oh, my God, thank you for telling me about Expensify. I can't believe how much better this is making my life. I take a picture of my receipt. I put in what it's for. I throw the receipt away, and the software makes an expense report. It's the best thing ever. So whether it's for casualty losses or business expenses or whatever it may be, find an app along the lines of Expensify. I love and recommend Expensify and don't get any money from them, although I wish I did, with your records. Whether you're in sales or in business for yourself or trying to keep track of things, it takes a picture, it puts it in a PDF file, they have a copy on their server, and hopefully you have enough good sense to download it and back up your stuff as well. So back to casualty losses. So for natural disasters, declared a national disaster area, we just talked about Colorado. Colorado people have until December 2nd, if your area was a nationally declared disaster area, you don't have to file your 2012 tax return until December 2nd, 2013. Whew, that's corporations who were supposed to file on September 16th, individuals who were supposed to file October 15th. It also includes estimated tax payments, which were due on September 15th, or actually the 16th because the 15th was on a Sunday. I lost myself for a minute. Now, you have two options when it comes to deducting casualty losses. Come in the year they occurred, or you can amend the prior year's tax return. So this is a nice little benefit, especially if you had lower income in the prior year because of that 10% of AGI rule. If you have a casualty loss on your personal or your business return, you can deduct it either in the year it occurred, or you can amend the prior year's return. This is a nice little thing written into the tax code, and you know I don't say that very often, that allows you to derive some immediate benefit from a current problem. So there, how often are you going to hear me say something good about the tax code? Something nice that ought to be written in there is in there. And I think we're running out of time. I want to make sure that I fit in to say this is October 16th. Now is the time to check your federal tax withholding, do estimated tax calculations to see if you need to adjust your federal withholding. Pay in more, pay in less. We had a guy a couple of years ago. We looked at his federal tax withholding. We had him withhold a whole lot less for the last 3 months of the year. At the end of the year, he owed $16, but for those last 3 months, he got an extra $200 a pay period, and he was able to get himself out of debt so that by the time the new year rolled around and we could readjust his withholdings back to where they ought to be, he could afford to live on his new take-home pay.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It's awesome, awesome, awesome to know that we have people like you in our lives. And there's so much more information you have on your website. You know, for this month you have tips for recently married and divorced taxpayers. Of course, each month you have the tax due dates. You know, to inform all. Also, you have the six tips on gambling income and losses for those that love to go gambling, you Vegas goers. avoid a tax surprise with check your federal tax withholding. So there's a lot more information that you have on the website for this month. Those are just some of the key areas, you know, the featured articles that you have for this month. So, Debbie, just go ahead and let everyone know how they can contact you once again, not only through your website, you know, your direct information, they can contact you, your social media information, and then let us know when that the next Atlanta Business Mixer is taking place, what's going on with that for this month.
We're actually looking at having it the first week of November. We skipped September and October because of tax deadlines. We're coming back. We're going to have a Atlanta Business Mixer, and we think it'll be the first Thursday in November. Still finalizing things with the venue. We're also going to start it, which we don't typically do, by talking about how, if you have a business, how to save up to $17,000 of taxes by taking advantage of the best tax deduction in the world, owning your own business. Go to our website, or actually go to our Facebook page, Atlanta Business Mixer. We'll be posting updates there starting tomorrow. And it's a great event. Reach us at debbie@tsrtax.com. TSR stands for the Snelling Report, which is our website. Please go check it out. We'll be making some modifications to it over the course of the next 2 weeks. And call us at 770-735-3336. Love to talk to you. Love to save people money. Love to change lives. It's just so cool.
Awesome, 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 awesome. Well, it's always wonderful to have you on air here with on BGE Radio, powered by Blog Talk. I'm with us, Debbie. We look forward to you joining us next month once again with great tax and financial tips, and you always put us on the path of success. So continue to build, grow, and enjoy. Are you there, Debbie?
I'm here. Sorry. Sometimes my signal just goes dead on you. Yes, build, grow, and enjoy. All three things to concentrate in life.
Yes, yes. And there you guys have it, Debbie Snelling, your monthly Snelling Report, the Snelling Report, thesnellingreport.com for more information. Click the newsletter to review everything in depth of what we spoke about with Debbie this month. Great tax and financial tips, and I know many of you guys had questions about the shutdown. You have your answers. If you want more information, all of Debbie's contact information is on our website. Go get a free consultation or go get a consultation with her. I don't know if it's free. I don't know what it is. I'm sure she has to assess you, but go check her out. She's in Atlanta and one of the top tax advisors there. I've seen her work. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, we're going to conclude our show today, but before we conclude, I want to share with you guys, because many of you guys have been asking, my phone's been ringing off the hook, I'm getting emails, because the word is getting out about the 2014 World AIDS Day Summit that is coming to Atlanta. Yes, I've partnered, Build, Grow, and Enjoy actually has partnered with a few other organizations to come in and sound the alarm in Atlanta metro area. Just stopping the spread of HIV and AIDS. Pretty much the fight against the spread of AIDS has been ongoing for decades now. Although we as a country have made great strides to fight this horrendous disease, the question remains, is there enough being made? In Atlanta, I would say a year or so ago, the local news station 11 Alive, WXIA, reported the city is in a crisis. Many people missed it. Now people are starting to see it now that we've kind of, you know, brought it to people's attention. One in which the number of the new HIV/AIDS cases reported amongst the African-American community outnumbered that of ethnicity, according to the report by the CDC. So much so that the number of African-American women are compared to that of African countries, making Atlanta the highest-ranked city in the United States for HIV and AIDS cases in African-American women. So there's a crisis going on. And with that, Build, Grow, and Enjoy has partnered up in an effort to sound the alarm and stop the spread of HIV and AIDS throughout the community of Metro Atlanta. The Philanthropy Concierge and joined forces with the National Congress of Black Women, Anise Inc., and Stand Inc., and hosting the first ever World AIDS Day Summit in Atlanta, Georgia, as a national initiative that welcomes not only our First Lady of the United States, but numerous First Ladies from across the globe to address the HIV endemic in the city. So this event's going to be huge, everyone. It's pretty much going to be a citywide, it's not a statewide event. I mean, it's a global, national, and a local event. So like I said, to sound that alarm, the event will consist of, just to give a little bit of background, the date will be November the 29th, 2014, through December 1st, 2014. As many of you guys know, December 1st is World AIDS Day globally. There are going to be breakout workout sessions. There are going to be meet and greets, mixers, community health expo. There's going to be a wellness village, a kid health zone, black tie dinner, celebrity and record label talent showcase, red carpet arrivals, book signings, celebrity performances and appearances. Public health officials are coming, executive health professionals, local, national, and global lawmakers and politicians, global, national, local media coverage. It's going to be media heavy, of course. HIV and AIDS, which is this is the most important piece, so everyone can come out and get tested, get some counseling, and learn more of the resources that's available to them. There's going to be living with AIDS testimony, people that actually have the disease and telling their testimonies and their stories, and just a lot of the community HIV and AIDS organization initiatives across the board. So they make sure that, there's also going to be a designer fashion show, top designer, I'm talking top designer, and of course, you know, global, national, local, and celebrity keynote speakers. But the event will honor the National Congress of Black Women for all their work that they're doing throughout the community across the nation to address this issue. And Anise Inc. and Stand Inc. within Atlanta for all of their extraordinary work and efforts to stopping the spread throughout the community. So mark your calendars, November the 29th, 2014 through December the 1st, 2014. World AIDS Day 2013 is up and coming. Find an organization to become a part of, even if you have to go out on the corner and hand out protection. I've done it. Do it. You will be amazed at the reaction. People are like, wow, someone is actually caring for us, especially in Atlanta. So it's going to be a massive, a major event. We look forward to everyone joining us across the globe, not just locally and nationally, November the 29th through December the 1st, 2014, the 2014 World AIDS Day Atlanta, in all efforts to stop the spread of HIV and AIDS and sound the alarm in Metro Atlanta. So that's going to conclude our show for today. Be sure to get on over to thesnellingreport.com, at Snelling Report. Follow Debbie on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter, at Kalithia, BillGrownEnjoy.com. All of our shows are archived. All of our shows are playback. Click listen. You can listen to all of our shows. You can also look on the right side of the website, and you'll see all the shows, the recent shows listed. It's not hard to find it all, to hear these amazing, amazing, amazing stories and tips and advice and testimonies that we have here on BGE Radio. I will be back on the air on Tuesday. I will have another special broadcast, officially No One Left Behind. This is another amazing story with another amazing organization coming out of Los Angeles, California, that is out making a huge difference when it comes to our homeless community. 20,000 plus people they are feeding a month throughout the city. Skid Row, I mean, just throughout it. As many of you guys know, Skid Row is in Los Angeles, and I mean, oh my gosh, it's horrible, but they are out there making a difference. Andre LaSella, who is the CEO and founder of Officially No One Left Behind, will be joining me to speak on his amazing mission, tell his story, and tell you more on how you can become a part of what he's doing on his journey. So BillGrownEnjoy.com, at Kalithia, at Snelling Report, and as I always tell you guys, build, grow, and enjoy, and have a great rest of your week. Take care.